This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Now, in the studio, we have with us Gillian English, who is here to talk about her show.
Award-winning comedian. Look at her.
Now, welcome to the show, Gillian.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, Gillian, we like to start off the show by just getting a little bit of a background. And since this is your first time with us on this show, just tell us a little bit about your background. How did you get started in what you're doing?
And Shakespeare.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's a big question. So I loved attention as a child. I just wanted people to pay attention to me. So I wanted to be an actor, but I am from rural Nova Scotia in Canada. Not a lot of opportunities for that. So I was going to go to law school.
So the arts in Canada is pretty healthy though, isn't it?
Oh, it's really healthy, but I grew up in the forest in the middle of nowhere.
Right, okay.
So, you know.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Move to one of the bigger cities?
Of course. Yep. But as a child and as a teenager, I was like, it's a pipe dream. It's a dream you can have, but it's not a dream you can follow through on. So I was going to go to law school. So then I went to university and I was doing a really pre-law degree, and I was about to take the intro to law course, but there was also an intro to acting course. And I asked my mother, and I said, which one should I do? And she's like, look, hon, you can always take intro to law. You're going to be a lawyer. Don't worry about it. Take the intro to acting class. You always love that stuff. It'll be an easy A for you. And you can just have at least one class this semester to just relax. And 2 weeks in, I was like, that's it. I'm changing my major. And my parents were like, you did this. So I did my undergrad in acting, and then I wanted more, so I did my master's in classical Shakespearean performance at Lambda. And then I moved to Toronto, and I was working with the Second City and did my...
What's the Second City? I don't know.
Oh, you don't know what the Second City is?
No. Rowan, do you?
Do you guys know?
Do you know? No.
Second City. Okay, so Second City is a huge sketch and improv like juggernaut in North America. So there's Second City in Chicago, right, and Second City in Toronto. So like SCTV with Eugene Levy and Martin Short.
I know Eugene Levy, Martin Short.
Yes.
Wow. I feel like I'm a Martian right now. Second City is huge. It's a huge comedy. So a lot of people who end up on Saturday Night Live, Second City.
Yep.
Stephen Colbert, Second City.
Right, okay.
Seth Meyers, Second City. Tina Fey, Second City. So I worked with Second City in Toronto. I was never on the main stage, but I worked with them and I did their conservatory program. And I was doing sketch comedy by accident. I thought I was auditioning for a radio play. And it turned out it was all like voice-based comedy. So I was doing that. And then I was like, oh, this is good. You can get on stage whenever you want. You know, you don't have to audition. You don't have to... you don't have to wait for someone else to decide that you can do this. So I started doing sketch. I started doing improv and storytelling, a lot of storytelling. And then eventually kind of transitioned into stand-up. And that was just what was working best.
Yep.
So here I am, and I've been doing stand-up for 6 years. And then student loans found me and reminded me I did that master's in fine arts. And I was like, oh, if I have to pay for it, I should make use of it. So I started doing some Shakespeare stuff, but not in the way it would be expected.
Let's come back to that, because Shakespeare is loved on this show, and there's so many aspects, and I know that you're taking the Mickey out of Shakespeare, but let's leave it for now.
Sure.
How did you end up here in Australia?
So I used to play Aussie Rules football for Team Canada. I was a fullback for Team Canada. So that was the first time I came to Australia.
Okay.
Was to play in World Championships.
And what, a female team?
Yep.
Back then?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm aware it's only
how
just...
How old do you think I am? What do you mean back then?
Well, you said how long have you lived in Australia?
3 years.
Right. So that was 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, Australian rules for women have only been 2 years.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but we're a touch more progressive in Canada.
Well, there you go. There you go.
No, I think I started playing Aussie rules in, I think it was 2011. 2011. That was the first year for a women's division in Ontario was when I started playing. So I came over to play in the the IC, the International Cup, and I managed to do a little bit of stand-up while I was here because I was an okay football player, but I was like, oh, I'm better at something else. So I snuck out of the hotel a couple of times, which was also super weird for me because, you know, I do a lot of solo stuff, so all of a sudden being like a member of a team where someone else is in charge of like where I'm allowed to go at night, I was like, I'm 30, stop it. Like, I'm leaving if I want to.
Yep.
So yeah, I snuck out to do some stand-up. I was like, oh, this is great. The communities are so supportive. And then I went back to Toronto and I just felt really stuck there. So I sold everything I owned and I moved to Melbourne.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's not that easy, you know, like to change whole countries.
No.
But, you know, like you've done it and
yeah.
here you are successful yeah. with it.
I always go by the adage that just because you are somewhere doesn't mean you have to stay there.
Mm.
It's not a good enough reason for me. So I lived in Toronto for 7 years. It's a beautiful place. There's a lot of really great community. There's a lot of great comedy, but I was stuck and I was creatively stagnant and I didn't want to be there anymore. So I left.
Mm.
And the only person who was in control of that was me. So
yeah. But you don't live in Melbourne anymore.
No.
You're down in Tassie.
Yes, I am.
But
I live
you're
in Hobart.
Tourer.
Yeah, sorry, just before you do, I was going to ask, so how did you find starting off in Melbourne again and settling in?
It was great because I had toured the circuit a little bit. So I had done Fringe World and Adelaide Fringe and comedy festival, and so when I came back, I knew people, and so I was able to kind of work my way in. It was hard. Like the first few months were hard because, you know, I did sell everything I owned and moved to the other side of the world. And I was like, this is great. And all of a sudden I was like, oh no,
what have I done?
But but then, you know, things, you just keep working. The only thing I could ever say is just keep working. The second you give up, then you've given up, haven't you?
And you win awards. You know, like you won Best Comedy at the Fringe Festival last year.
Which one? I don't mean to be rude, but which one?
I thought I read in your bio that you won...
but you just said Fringe Festival. I do a lot of Fringe festivals.
Melbourne.
Yeah, no, I was nominated for Best Comedy,
right.
And I won the Queensland Touring Award.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. And
sorry, if you just say Fringe, I'm doing 22 of those.
Wow.
So I need to know which one you're talking about.
So you're on the road a lot of the time.
Yes.
And how do you find that?
I like it. It's a bit exhausting. It gets really tiresome living out of a suitcase, and I miss my boyfriend, and I miss my dog, and I miss our home, and you know, sleeping in my own bed. But whenever I get really exhausted on the road, I remind myself that this is what I wanted. That, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, I would have killed for the opportunity to tour this much and to perform this much and to have the career that I have now. So, yeah. You just do what you have to do.
Exactly. Now, let's talk about your show.
Okay.
What's it called?
My show is called 10 Things I Hate About the Taming of the Shrew.
Now, excuse me, we should ban you from this show straight away. Are you giving Shakespeare a hard time?
Yes.
Which I love.
Yeah, no, it's about time people gave Shakespeare a hard time. I remember when I was doing my undergrad and I had this panel audition and I chose, it was when we were graduating, and so we were auditioning for like all the theater people in Nova Scotia just to be like, here we come, we're graduated. And I did a Lady Macbeth monologue, and this one woman lost her mind because she thought I was too young to be doing Lady Macbeth and it was too mature for me, and why wasn't I doing Juliet? And I was like, because I'm 23, I'm already a decade too old to be playing Juliet. And I was like, also, she's stupid. She's a stupid character. I don't like her, and she's in a dumb play. And this woman lost her mind. She was like, you have no right to question Shakespeare. And I've encountered that attitude a lot, as if I have no right to question Shakespeare. I did my MFA at Lambda. Yes, I do. But also, anyone can. What bothers me is when we hold the opinions and words of dead white men in such high regard that you can't question it.
Yep.
That it is beyond question. That this is just the epitome of culture, and people get so bogged down in the language and the beauty of the language that they miss the stories and how disgusting the stories are, and how the morals and ethics no longer apply to our society.
Yeah.
So that's all I want to say. It's beautiful language, but what's underneath? Gross.
But the wonderful thing is that people just adapt it to suit themselves.
Exactly, but why?
Because they
why
can.
Not just write a new story?
Well,
why keep telling the same stories over and over and over again? No such thing as a fresh take on Shakespeare. You heard it here first. It's been done.
So what's your show about?
It's the 10 things I hate about Taming of the Shrew.
Okay, name two or three of them.
Shakespeare was a content aggregator. He promotes the concept of cruel to be kind. It promotes girl-on-girl hate. It makes it look as though women have no reason to be angry when we have a lot of reason to be angry. It glorifies teenage love when teenagers are stupid. In the best possible way. Their brains aren't done growing. There's terrible parenting. It's a stupid play. It's a stupid, stupid play. The only moral is that women can be beaten down eventually. Hooray. Do we need 3 hours of that? No, we do not. Misogyny, that's one. The other one is the concept of proto-feminism, which we learned about in New Zealand last year. That was super fun. And then Shakespeare was writing to maintain the status quo. He was a propagandist and a sellout. I'm not faulting him for it, but he was. And I think it's silly and ignorant to deny that. He was a propagandist. And so when you look at his work and you hold it as the epitome and height of culture without looking at the fact that he was working for the man and that they were maintaining a status quo to maintain their power, and the status quo of the time was that women were the little literal and physical possessions of men, oh, we have come a long way, have we not?
We have.
Yeah. So let it go.
Let it go. And what about the conspiracy theory that one man didn't write them all?
Well, one, who cares? Because, again, whoever they are, they're dead. And we still celebrate the works as the same thing. Mm. The other thing is, I know he wrote those plays. Because everybody's main piece of evidence is that his works were so creative and so poetic. But his will was very businesslike. And Shakespeare was not a businessman, which is utter garbage. He was a straight up businessman. Like I said, he was a sellout and a propagandist. He worked for the crown. And the idea that someone, the greatest literary mind of all time, could write a play one way, but wasn't capable of writing a will a different way, as if I'm not capable of sending an email to my boss, but also writing a poem on my journal, and they're going to be two different kinds of writing. Are you kidding me? I think Shakespeare had his mind wrapped around more than one. And again, it doesn't matter. I honestly don't care if he wrote them or not. I'm looking at the stories and the morals and the pedestal we continue to put them on where it doesn't belong to be.
Why aren't you in London, standing out the front of all the Shakespearean companies with a placard telling people this?
That'd be a waste of my time.
You might as well get to the people.
Are you accusing me of being a crazy person? I am going to London. I'm performing something like 15 festivals in the UK this year. I'm doing 10 Things I Hate About Taming of the Shrew at the York International Shakespeare Festival in May. So that should be interesting.
That will be very interesting.
But
do you get
paid either way?
In your audience angry with your... Yeah?
Yeah. Wow. But that's their fault. They should Google me before they come.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But wouldn't the word hate...
One would think. No, I haven't had that many people who get properly cranky at 10 Things I Hate About Taming of the Shrew, but I did have a lot of people who got cranky. Not a lot, but just, you know, people who were upset at my other show, She-Wolf, which was an examination of Queen Margaret of Anjou, who was a real person but ended up as a character in four of Shakespeare's history plays, where she was wildly misrepresented, demonized, mythologized, because, again, she had been one of the people in charge before the Tudors took the throne. So it was just straight-up propaganda, making everyone who came before look like garbage. So I did a play about her, where I play her back from the dead, not very happy about the way she's been represented, and using her as a way to examine the way our society treats women in positions of power and the way, you know, we go after them for so many things, the way they look, the way they laugh, the way they cry or they don't cry. If you are a woman in power, or just a woman in general, and you've upset people, you're going to be two things. You're going to be too feminine and not feminine enough. And if you've made people mad, you're usually going to be both. And so that was that. And I had one woman in Edinburgh who got livid, and she was like, Shakespeare didn't portray Margaret as evil. I'm like, did you read the plays? And she was just like, how dare you say that? You know, again, with the how dare you. How dare you say that? Did you even train? And I said, yeah. And she goes, well, where did you train? I said, Lambda, where did you train? Never mind, it doesn't matter. So I won that conversation.
Wow.
But people can get mad all they want. I think it's important to actually examine the stories we're telling and ask ourselves why. Why do we keep telling these stories when there are new stories to tell from new voices who have been marginalized for so long, and it's their turn?
What about writing your own plays?
I do write my own plays.
Do you?
Excuse you?
When are you going to see it?
Well, I have 7 solo shows.
Okay.
Yeah.
But solo shows that are your plays or...
Well, I mean, I do autobiographical stuff. I also wrote a play called Love in the Time of Time Machines. So look, my point is creating space for people to tell their stories. I tell my stories in the art form that I have chosen for myself.
Yeah.
Just because I don't do a full-on play anymore
I was teasing you.
Oh, okay.
I was teasing you. Get off that soapbox. Get off.
Sure.
Yeah, because I was just teasing you because I think it's brilliant what you're doing.
Okay.
You know, and I can't wait to see it. Where are you performing?
I'm at the Cooper's Malt House in the Shell Room at 9:30, 8:30 on Sundays for the whole festival. Right. And no shows on Mondays.
The whole festival?
Yep.
Wow.
Full run.
Wow. That's a long run.
Yeah. 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 Lots of comics do a full run.
You do a lot of festivals, as you said.
Yeah. I tour a lot.
And what's it called again?
10 Things I Hate About Taming of the Shrew.
Gillian, thanks so much for coming in. It's been a pleasure, and I love the concept. The minute I saw your media release come through, I thought to myself, I've got to have you on.
Well, I'm glad.
Good on you. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much for having me.
You're here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.